Welcome back to this edition of the Gaming Tailgate Podcast. Tonight, I'm joined by Arkansas's greatest export and the guy who's a dead ringer for Freddie Prinze Jr. It's Tommy and JB Huskers. Guys, how's it going?
Pretty good. I see that Dion's whispering sweet nothings into JB's ear.
Oh, yes, please. It's hopefully, hopefully reverse psychology for this weekend.
They got a big game or something?
I wouldn't call it big.
Well, since the last show, again, not a repeat. More conference realignment. Stanford, Cal, SMU to the ACC, which makes a lot of sense. I saw some people online make some jokes that maybe they should rename it to the All-Coast Conference or Across the Country Conference. At least with the Big Ten, it makes some sense. We have four on the West Coast and a couple in the middle of the country. You can kind of envision how it might work. This one was
and
just
it's close
two
to 10 teams.
One. Yeah, I don't understand how they're going to make this one work with travel, but whatever.
To me, none of it makes sense. I mean, I guess if you had taken like half of the Pac-12, like taking the best six teams and then do like a pod scenario, then yeah, I can see that. But, you know, two Northwestern teams and two California teams in the Big Ten, and then two California teams and one. I've heard somebody say that SMU is going to be a stopgap for your long cross-country travel. So, I mean, yeah, it's ridiculous. Again, I mentioned it before, but each little change just kind of drives me further away from college football.
Only one thing makes sense in all of this, and it's money.
But at the same time, the ACC is not getting more money. I mean, yes, they are getting more money in principle, but each school is getting like $3 million more a year.
Adding those teams, though, that next TV deal is going to be bigger than what they're getting now.
No, it's not going to be. Number one, they've got a grant of rights until 2037, I think it is, or something like that.
Well, that's right. They sold their soul to ESPN.
Well, no, but then as well, now Disney's crying broke. So they're, you know, that's why the Pac-12 didn't get a decent contract to begin with. So that's what triggered all this, is because ESPN is too poor to be able to buy a new contract.
And part of it is then when that contract does end and some of those schools go to the SEC, the ACC will still have enough members to exist. That's basically always just an insurance policy. So they'll still survive when Florida State and North Carolina and Clemson leave or whatever.
Yeah.
Three or four schools bail for the SEC. Let's get to the EA Sports College Football news. We have a little bit of news to get to. The first one, Caleb Williams talks about the game. Do stars like Caleb Williams support the return of the college football video game? Well, that depends, according to Ross Dellinger. Again, we're going to use this every time we have an article like this. We don't know how the question was asked, so I'm very leery of being critical of Caleb Williams or the quotes he gives here. First, he talks about how he always played as Oregon, and they ask him, what are his thoughts about will he be in the game? First off, he's probably going to go pro, but just in case he comes back. In his interview with Yahoo Sports, Williams expressed excitement and also questioned EA's reported compensation. He suggested a player's value, experience, playing time, accolades, etc., should be considered in determining their compensation level. And again, you can tell he's kind of speaking off the cuff here. This just when you read this, you'll tell here. Thing about life is you have to adjust to anything. Businesses and brands and things like that have to adjust to the new brand of college. I'd love to have the game back, but it's the new day and age, and everybody knows what the new day and age in college is, said Williams, referencing the burgeoning NIL industry in which he's thrived. It's like if you go to school and you're a straight A student and there's another kid whose strong suit isn't school and he gets B's or B minuses. How fair would it be if you get the same grade as him? That never works in school and it doesn't make sense. That's how I look at that game with the situation with the $500. The article does mention $500 is rumored. So again, there's a lot of, I feel like they just threw this at him and he felt like he had to weigh in on it.
He also didn't come to play school.
Well, I thought it was a Cardale's quote from the past when he said that there. They said for some players, $500 is adequate. For others, it is not, Williams insisted. It depends on who you are and your situation, if you earned it, he continued. There's certain people that have been in college for many years and been playing for many years. And there's other guys who have been in college for many years and haven't played and haven't been doing this and that. It depends on your situation and who you are and what you have actually earned. I'm not talking about money earned. I'm talking about all the hard work you've put in.
But he's saying the hard work equates to playing time, equates to money. So, I mean, again, he's talking about out of both sides of his mouth there, trying to say it's not about the money, but yet I need more money.
Sure, it's about the money, but I feel like he's a guy who obviously will take the money, wants the money, but he can't be that expensive because he does a lot of stuff here. And he even mentions in the article, He's entered into deals with Neutrogena, PlayStation, AC Plus Ion Water, AT&T, and Beats by Dre, as well as being in Fansville, and I believe he's also in those Heisman commercials. So it's one of those that either he's getting a ton of money or he's not really that expensive to get. It's probably a combination of the two.
Yeah, and plus, again, it all goes back, as I've been saying, I firmly believe they'll have a flat rate or mostly flat rate for most of the players, and then they'll find ways to give the stars a little bit extra, whether it's ultimate team money or some other way. They're going to find a way to get these players included one way or another. And you know, the only way to me, again, the only fair way to do that is a standard across the board and then a little extra on the side for star players for outside of the just being included in the base roster.
And it just felt like they kind of fed him what they wanted to hear. Like they gave him what you can just almost envision how that question was asked. Like, do you think the 500 is enough? Would you do it? And he hasn't seen the contract. Doesn't even know that that's even rumored. He has no clue. Right.
He has no idea that that's rumored either. Probably he just thinks that's gospel. You think that's what they're getting. You think that's what's set in stone.
But that's what we have with General Duty from Oklahoma when they asked that several months ago. He was going off what he heard from the reporters. He hadn't actually been contacted by EA when he gave his thoughts as well.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, EA has not offered anybody any amount of money as far as we're aware. There's no contract to be able to sign today. So it's just kind of guesstimations, you know, that's probably fairly close to accurate. Because the NCAA series back in the day didn't sell as well as Madden. So you're not going to make as much as a Madden, you know, an NFL player, for example. Plus, on top of that, you're paying that many more athletes across that many more, you know, colleges. So yeah, it's not going to be get rich quick kind of money, but it's going to be enough to make it at least worth your while to just, you're not even having to sit and have your face scanned. You're not even having to put any effort. You're just having your name and your height, weight, and city attributes put into the game. You know, again, now I understand it goes beyond that. And it's, you know, you still have to respect your own name, image, and likeness. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's not the same as versus being, you know, in a Dr. Pepper ad.
The next piece of news we have relating to the game, more lawsuit information from Chris Vanini. The biggest news involving the legal system this week, an EA Sports Brander Group hearing on the college football video game and EA Sports motion to dismiss has moved up from November 16th to October 19th. So you can mark that on your calendar. The next date of articles that we'll be talking about any potential delay or not will be coming around October 19th.
I think that proves to serve you that it's pretty cut and dry, that either a settlement was reached or there was nothing that EA did wrong.
Or it's going to get dismissed rather quickly or something.
For that to get moved up a month, yeah.
Well, and probably as well, EA is wanting to start, you know, getting contracts handed out by, you know, towards the end of the year. So they want to have this all wrapped up before the end of the year as much as they can. So, yeah. I mean, they just want to kind of move on and get away from this.
What we're going to do through most weeks of the season is with the format we're going to get into tonight. We're going to ask the community after the weekend is over, what did they see that week on the real life college football that they want to see brought into year one of EA Sports College Football? And it can be something serious, such as a play or a formation, field art, uniform, or it can be something humorous. Week zero, probably the funniest thing I think that was there that would be included in the game, which will not be included in the game, with Sam Hartman's rib necklace that the broadcast kept having to show. NBC really liked talking about that rib necklace that. So that's one of those things that would be really funny. Don't think it'll be in the game, but it does make a good joke for potential inclusion.
I think the only real answer for week zero is the Avaya Stadium for Notre Dame's kickoff game in Ireland. That'd be awesome. To me, the more neutral site games that you can include, more neutral site stadiums that you include in the game, I think the better. And that one obviously is kind of special because it kind of signifies the start for kickoff each year.
And it's a great-looking stadium. I mean, that's always unique since that's traditionally a soccer stadium, but it works well for a college football game that it would be great to have in the game. Some of the community replies, Taylor Malone, he likes to always reply to us and does a great job. He jokingly said Jackson State, which I'm sure Dion would like to see them added, his former school. Justin Thine, he's a reporter for 24/7 Sports covering Michigan State, says nothing unique to week zero, but having licensed network broadcast packages. NCAA 14 having the ESPN Scorebug really set it apart from a realism standpoint. NCAA Hoops 09 having both CBS and ESPN was nice. Mm-hmm. If EA Sports College Football 25 has ESPN, NBC, Fox, that would be elite.
They can keep this Fox one. Don't bring that one into the game.
You don't like it that?
It was amazing. It was amazing that College Hoops was able to do those two and did it well. Mm-hmm. Actually, I was surprised how well they did the two companies together in terms of mm-hmm. presentation.
Well, and remind me, am I wrong? Did they also have separate broadcast teams as well, or yeah. am I misremembering that? Yeah, nope. I mean
they did.
They kind of went all out for that, and yeah. I mean, I don't expect to see EA do that, but you know, at the same time, bring in you know some of the more named score bugs at least. You know, keep one set of announcers, but you know, bring in different score bugs just to kind of give it a little bit of unique sense and say, hey, we're here from you know Big Ten noon kickoff or whatever.
Yeah, you think the score bugs may be something you could do year one. Obviously, the multiple announced teams is not going to be a year one thing. That would probably be something that's going to be down the road, which is still, you got to be figure it's possible. If you could do it 14 years ago, I'm assuming you can do it now. And, you know, I think the multiple score bugs, though, is definitely something that would not be out of the realm of possibility for year one.
Some of the things that I think we came across, some of these are serious, some humorous. One is in week zero, USC wide receiver Zachariah Branch, true freshman out of Las Vegas. How did UNLV let him go? Tore it up. He had a great return for touchdown, had a great couple of receptions, one for a touchdown. So my first thought was his ratings. Like any true freshman who signs on for next year, how are they going to rate these guys? Because that's we know them. They're real players. They have some success. His example in particular made me think, I sure hope that college football has on the return game, the names under the returners. EA football has not always done that. It's a small thing, but it's one of those that when you go back to kick, you want to know who's back there. That way you know who to kick to or who not to kick to. So it's a small thing, but his performance in week zero, I think that kind of stood out to me. Like we got to make sure that we know who these dangerous return guys are. Along the more humorous side, we had the Sam Hartman rib necklace, the Vandy scoreboard on cranes. That stadium was still getting put together in week zero.
It's shameful. I mean, literally, it looked like the scoreboard was going to fall from the sky the way it was rocking from the wind.
That'd be great to see that in the game, like week one, and then it progresses as you go along. The construction.
Dynamic weather and dynamic construction.
Dynamic stadium construction.
The New Mexico State quarterback, I don't know if you guys saw that. There was a face mask situation. The helmet was basically turned backwards. And he got loose, and he still decided to throw the ball. Now, it went out of bounds, but a lot of the commentary was, there's a penalty, and they called it, thank goodness. But why would you even bother throwing it? I mean, couldn't see it. But I suppose if he had completed it, that would have been like a top 10 play. So I suppose that was his thought process the whole time.
Yeah, because you remember when Crouch got his head turned around in that K-State game.
And they didn't call that.
Yeah, no.
There's a famous picture that helmet is literally backwards on his head, and that was not called. And the other one, the San Diego State quarterback, when he threw it, he hit the ref in the face with the ball.
Oh,
something like that. And the game would be usually if you would hit the ref, you complain, well, the ref should be, you know, I don't say invisible, but transparent. So the ball should go through them. But if we were going to copy real life, we got to have a situation where the ball can hit the ref in the face.
That was not a soft toss either.
No,
I'm
that had
pretty sure
hurt.
One year EA was bragging about their referees had, you know, avoidance technology, and really all it was literally you would phase right through them. So
yeah, like they would adjust on the sidelines sometimes, and from somebody that was on there, and they'd like try to avoid them, but yeah,
it doesn't perfect. Get more any more avoidance than going through them. I mean,
right, well,
at least they were honest. That's me. Not the way you thought they'd be doing, like Matrix moves, falling backwards to get the ball around them when in reality it's just going to phase through them. Well, let's go to week one. Week one had the full slate of games, a lot more action than we had in week zero. Let's go to the community first, what they had said, what they wanted to see after seeing the games. Some of these are game specific. Some of these are very much just at large comments. Immaculate View, he leads off the way. Custom conferences is the crux of his point. He talks about playing the game in 2014 and be able to make realignment adjustments. We were limited in how much we could do, though, due to agreements in order to get the IP. This time, I don't believe they're using the NCAA branding, so they aren't as constrained, I hope. He wants to see full customization with conferences and the lineups, and he's looking forward to the portal and NIL for the first time. I still think the conferences are probably going to have a say on this. I know we talked about on episode 33 about custom conferences and said, we'd love for the conferences to be able to disappear Now, we can't say a race because you can't present that to the conferences. But if you have it for maybe 1 year that a conference is gone, I don't think it'll happen. I still think the conference is going to protect their intellectual property. But I totally agree with his point on that. Let's go to Terrence Holloway weighed in also on custom conferences. I just want to be able to customize both conferences size and the playoffs. Since college football is going to have super conferences anyway, should be a main feature in legacy mode.
Playoffs?
Let's get to gameplay. Yeah, go ahead, Tommy.
As I said, real quick, to the terms of college football future, I see basically a 40-team super conferences, you know, probably 5 or 10 years from now, that really it's going to be the haves and have-nots, and the haves are just going to run everything and all be in one conference. So
if it ain't year one, EA's got to get flexible with that just based on what's going to be happening in 24, 25, and beyond. Mm-hmm. You know, they could be a little more rigid now with only going based on what they know. Even based on what they know, I mean, there's so much that's going on with that realignment. You'd almost think that in year one, they got to be as flexible as they can be to save themselves some time down the road.
I imagine, though, you still won't be able to erase or lose a conference or anything like that. I mean, obviously, it may very well happen within the next few years with the Pac-2 remaining or the 2-pack. There one way or another, a conference is going away, I'm sure. But at the same time, the conferences aren't going to sign on with their name if you're going to be able to erase them from the game.
What it's all about how you present this stuff. It's not a race, Tommy. It's a toggle where simply for 1 year they may not appear, but the user has the option to bring them back at any time.
You can toggle it's like the game.
You toggle them on and off. You do not delete them.
It's like the Back to the Future family photo.
Yeah.
That's
and they Pac-12 fades away, and then Marty comes back and starts playing Earth Angel.
As the Mountain West.
So with the Pac-12 logo. Wazoo starts making out with the Mountain West conference, and then they almost, you know, disappear the children, basically.
And Oregon State gets a little handsy, but things correct themselves by the end of the
Either that or the Pac-12 starts calling Canada. Hey, you got some Canada schools we can have?
But by the next show, we're going to have Washington State and Oregon State going to be in the Mountain West. Isn't that what's going to happen here? The way things have progressed, isn't that within the next episode or two, we're going to be talking about that to lead off the show?
That's the last two standing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the last two. Yeah, something's going to happen to them. But yeah, I'm sure it's probably going to be Mountain West. It may be Pac-12 branding with the Mountain West schools. Mm-hmm. I mean, who knows?
That's what I think. But
can the Pac-12 muscle via money and just overtake the Mountain West?
No.
In terms of branding?
No. I think they're done because they have no money coming in. They have no TV deal for next year. So my perception is they're out, but maybe I'm wrong on that.
And plus, literally all of the Mountain West schools would have to vote together, because if any, even one of them sticks around, then they would get all the exit fees for all the other schools, basically. Mm-hmm. Now, maybe it's a percentage, a large majority or something like that has to vote it. But at the same time, it's got to be a largest majority of them vote to get rid of the Mountain West.
I just don't see how the Pac-12 has any legs to stand on at this point.
They don't. I can't remember what school it was. Some administrator basically said that they hope that the name or branding could live on. That basically is saying what we talked about last episode. Just sell the name to the Mountain West and say, treat the name better than we did. Yeah, I mean, that's really what we're at here. All right, let's go back to the community feedback. This is gameplay related stuff here. We have @SIP1 says more air raid concepts, insert or power runs out of spread formations with the read key on the defensive end or outside linebacker, and second and third level RPOs. First off, I read that and I thought, this guy's a coach. And sure enough, I click on his bio and it says, he doesn't say where, what level, but it says coach. So I can very clearly could tell that from reading that. This guy's a coach. He knows what he's talking about here. I like the RPOs in Madden, but I mean, he's right.
Did only go to the first level, doesn't it?
They're basically just glorified screen or swing passes to the receiver for the most part. I know in the Giants playbook, there's one where the tight end goes on and out. I don't know if I've run it, but in my mind, when I saw it the other day, I thought there's barely enough time to make the read to figure out if you want to throw it to the receiver. I don't know how blue moon you could throw it to the tight end. You wouldn't have time. You'd be leveled by the time you waited or you did.
Yeah. But I mean,
you'd be throwing when you made his break. You would just have to.
Yeah. Cause
I think he's going to be open. I don't know.
Well, because when you would have to throw, you'd basically be throwing it into alignment or something at that point, way outside where it's like nobody can catch it.
Yeah, I like running it, but it needs work.
Yeah, there's even some slant passes that are the same. Like it's a stretch slant RPO, And yeah. by the, mm-hmm. the slant hasn't even broken by the time that he hands the ball off.
I mean, I tried those just for giggles, and yeah, I could never succeed. So it's like, you know, I'll just go back to an option, obviously, because I got a good running quarterback on my NFL team. So I like to do the option where EA implemented a good job of that option, especially with mm-hmm. the with the key in defenses back in the, I don't, did that start in 13 or 12, believe, maybe even?
Approximately. I know what you're saying. The keys were a might great have been addition. The,
I think it was 13.
Yeah. And, you know, and it and you were able to strategize a good option run game where they just haven't been able to do that to that level on the RPO yet.
I will say that I almost wish that they would not necessarily hide them, but kind of, you know, not show them as often or as significant when you get to higher levels of the game because it almost makes
it too
easy.
Or put a home field advantage.
Yeah, or something like that. But it makes it too easy to know that, yes, the offense is, you know, has the numbers on this run play or whatever. I mean, most of the times you can probably figure that out on your own. But at the same time, it almost guarantees that, yeah, you'll at least get a couple of yards kind of thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Cy Hart says there's a lot of ideas, but I'd like to see a robust playbook creator and editor. There's a lot of forgotten plays and formations from throughout EA's football game history. I would love to see or create. College football is a creative sandbox. And I would say along those lines, if we're going to get restricted on roster editing, which I feel is a safe bet at this point, in my opinion, EA's got to make it up somewhere else. And something like this, a playbook creator and editor, something more customization and creation, I think would make up for the lack of roster editing. And I like his ideas a lot.
Yeah, I would love that. The only thing is they would have to kind of limit it somewhat because otherwise you could easily create game-breaking plays or something like that.
Somebody's going to find it.
That's probably
day one, somebody will find a game-breaking play.
True.
And use that playbook online and go straight to the money.
And that's probably part of the reason why we lose plays from year to year is because they test them and, oh, this one makes it too easy or whatever. So we'll just rip it out of there. We don't have enough time to fix it or something. So.
Or if fixing the AI on the defensive side to make it work is just too much, it's easier just to tab that play out.
Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, imagine if you could just create, you know, even if they limited to selecting certain routes, it still would be... You know, I can imagine drawing some certain plays that would basically break the defense. So,
or if you could flesh out the playbooks, maybe. But I see your point. Like EA is not going to know what plays break the game unless you restrict these from going online. Then it's one of those. If you break your own game, who cares? Great.
Yeah. More power to you. I mean, to that point, yeah, I agree. But at the same time,
I mean,
back to his point, I would love just the ability to create better custom playbooks, even with this out of the box plays. To me, is kind of. The Madden one is really especially bad that it's hard to organize them in the way that I would want to. And then NCAA even had its own issues that as you added certain formations, it would kind of throw off the organization altogether.
There's no way that this stuff would carry over to the competitive stuff anyways. Like that's going to be limited to offline.
Yeah.
Maybe online, say franchise, if the commish agrees to it, something like that. But in terms of competitive, you'll never see it.
Over on YouTube in our community section, we had @Bryant3129 weighed in and said he wants dynamic depth charts. Different teams have different positions these days at various positions. For example, Alabama's star position or linebackers being named as Will and Sam. This could be addressed with unique formation subs as well, but I'd love to see updated positions names. I also think certain teams should have varied position depth. A pro style or run heavy team will really only need maybe 3 wide receivers deep and a fullback, where an air raid team would have no fullback and would have 5 to 6 receivers listed as starters. He brings up a point I kind of in my back of my mind. I've always been wondering, will EA still have that fullback requirement for EA Sports College Football year one? Like, how would the format work? Will that still be there? But I like his ideas. Those are things that have been in the community for a long time, being able to have like the names such as Will and Sam in there and different roster requirements based on your playbook style. Mr. Goodnight said the tug of war mode for NCAA Football 10. I had completely forgotten about that mode until he responded today, and I had to go back and think about it. I'm like, oh, that was a fun game mode. Completely forgot about it.
I honestly remember it, but I don't even remember how you moved it. Like, was that where you would run one play and then the other team would run a play?
I don't remember the exact detail. I don't remember if it was one play or a series of plays, and basically, you know, you try to move the ball down the field and back. I don't remember the specifics, but like I said, I completely forgot about it until he put that in there. So maybe I'll have to go back and play it this week just to get a refresher on it. I'm probably going to mispronounce this. Javrian says, I know it's not happening, but like a top 10 plays of the week, most likely will work on Online Dynasty, where players can submit their clip to the Online Dynasty and it gets ranked on the score it got in game. That's one of those things like, you know, GamerNet and EA Sports World were ahead of their time. those are things, if you can incorporate that now, it'd be gangbusters. But now we have this way to make you submit your own, save your own clips. And it's basically just you throw them up to YouTube or Twitter and they kind of get lost in the void. Whereas in the past we had, you know, the greatest plays and greatest games and all those different things. And they're probably going to be lost in the shuffle.
Yeah, Gamernet for Tiger Woods was such a great feature.
Aaron Newman at Cougar Fan. He's a longtime community guy. I mean, you remember, guys, remember Cougar Fan from the boards? He was always like, always had good feedback and good responses. He just posted a picture. He wants to see Houston. They wore these Oiler-inspired uniforms this past weekend. I got to think those would be in the game. They were a good look. It's such a brilliant idea. I don't know why it took them so long to finally do it. And, and another uniform-related idea, Dustin Brown. He's responded before, and we appreciate the feedback. I want all updated and throwback uniforms like Florida Gators with orange, blue, white, swamp green, and black helmets with the uniforms. Florida has black uniforms coming later this year. Maybe even history of the two teams playing each other with records against one another. We had that back on PS2. It went away in PS3. That's one that I would love to see back. Definitely conference realignment in the dynasty. Every team's throwbacks that have the brand they wear now. So if a team changed from Adidas to Nike, then only Nike. But if it's Nike to Jordan, then it's fine because it's the same brand. I'm sure they'll get all the base things right. It's going to be those throwbacks and alternates that in year one, how many will they honestly get to?
Well, and I'm curious for like, even for like Arkansas State, for example, they have three different colored helmets, but then they have like, you know, a dozen stickers total that they'll swap from those helmets each, you know, from week to week or whatever. So I'd be curious to see if they incorporate that kind of thing as well, to be able to just change, keep the same color helmet, but then change the logo or something like that.
Right. Some things from week one that stood out to me, and you guys let me know what you think as well. First off, Travis Hunter, he's going to need to have 99 stamina next year. Isn't that right? I still have yet to see an actual final snap count. I've seen about three different numbers. I've seen 129, I've seen 134, and I've seen 145. Even if it's 129, that's still ridiculous. I mean, I think if he signs into the game next year, he's going to have to be the highest stamina player in the game. Am I wrong on that one?
Yeah, I mean, to me, I've never, you know, in the entire time that I've really closely followed college football, I don't think I've seen a player do that in a really long time. So, yeah, it's truly amazing. Number one, he was great on both sides of the football.
Right.
And then number two, just to play that many snaps in one game.
Will EA need to get the license for Deion to be in the game? It's one of those, I know we're in the moment now because we're coming off the high of them upsetting TCU. But let me throw this out there. One, Deion's a smart guy. He knows how to market himself and his program. Two, he's in Madden. He's one of those, he's in the superstar mode. He shows up. He's been in Ultimate Team. I have heard of other coaches who have said that, you know, they recruited a guy's house recruiting them. They'll have Madden on. And last year in Madden 23, when they added him in Ultimate Team, Deion showed up on the main menu. They had the player model of Deion walking around. Do they have to sign him, get him in the game for next year? We don't know if they're going to be coaches in the game, but it's such a big story right now. Granted, things could change. Do they have to put him in?
No, not unless they're going to get other top coaches in the game. And there's no association like there is in the NFL.
Yeah, you don't do just Deion unless there's some kind of like menu, you know, video playing in the background or something like that. But as far as on-field representation, unless you get, you know, at least half the coaches, no, I can't imagine you get just Deion.
I'm sure Deion would take it, though.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, of course. So, I mean, he was, like you said, he was in the Madden game. So, I mean, he wants to kind of get his likeness out there and kind of shown. Obviously, he wants to get paid for it, but he also uses it as a marketing tool to you know, market himself to younger kids. So, yeah, I'm sure, you know, he wants to do it, but, you know, are you going to get Nick Saban? Are you going to get Dabo Sweeney in there? You know,
yeah, but they don't bring in the casual fans like Deion has. I mean, a lot of casuals might know Nick Saban, but he's not Deion. I mean, Deion this week, he runs one game and things could change. They could still finish 3-9 and this whole thing get forgotten about. But as right now, if this thing keeps up, I think EA might be pushed to at least think about it.
I'll be surprised.
I would not be. But I wouldn't bet on it, but I wouldn't be surprised. A funny one here, Ole Miss. Juice Kiffin, which is Lane Kiffin's yellow lab, was the T-dog this past weekend at the game, ran out and grabbed the T. I don't know if you guys saw that. Something that would be funny. I don't think it'll be in the game, but it would be a funny inclusion. Going back to Tommy, you mentioned the other true neutral site games. That's one of those, especially watching that LSU Florida State game the other night. When Florida State came out, I mean, it sounded like it was a home game. I mean, so it's not only do you want the true neutral, whereas there's no home team, like, you know, when you're talking about bowl games, But sometimes if you are located close by to a home field, you know, one fan base should be louder. Like, it sounded like LSU had a good section of representation there, but it wasn't what Florida State had. So that's one of those, how do you do it? And the only thing that came to my mind was, you know, you have to turn off all the home field advantage stuff, whatever they have for that. And maybe in the pregame, the user can select the audio levels. So that way, if you know Florida State's the home team, but if they're closer to that stadium, maybe you give them 80% of the volume. But if you're playing, say, in the, you know, famous Potato Idaho Bowl, you know, Florida State and Washington, maybe then you put both 50-50. Something like that.
Yeah,
maybe
you're gonna have to
decide that, not the game.
You're gonna have to do it by geographical location, and you know, EA's probably got to put in a variable of how well does that fan base travel.
You know, I would say if the user can select the audio, they wouldn't have to do that formula. I do like that idea, and I thought about that, but I'm thinking, what's the easiest way for them to do this? Just let the user decide.
Yeah, I still think, though, that to JB's point, do something based upon geographic location plus the more popular team. I mean, it's,
I can see that. I can see
maybe
that.
Maybe you default it to that rating, and then the user can adjust a little bit if they
think very little. But I just think very little users would do it on their own.
I agree.
That's probably true.
I agree. Even if it came up, I would just keep it as default or whatever.
Field storming. That was the final image of week one. I think I see it behind Tommy right now with Duke.
Yeah.
Likely to never be included. We know they tried to do it years ago. The NCAA said no. But right now, the SEC is a big conference against it. I don't think some conferences are quite as opposed. But I still, I would love to see it, but I just don't think it's going to happen.
I mean, I agree. But at the same time, you're doing it with a digital version, so it's at least safer than the real life version.
Right,
so maybe they sign off on it in that sense. But then other ways to kind of celebrate, like Toomer's Corner for Auburn or something like that, just kind of like a scene outside the stadium or something, just to kind of show the fans celebrating, you know? So, I mean, again, maybe not the rushing the field, but then there's other ways to kind of still show the same celebration type atmosphere after a major win like that.
And as we're crunched against the clock here, the last one, game pace. Colorado played at such a fast pace last week. They're going to have to think about how they want to do no huddle in the game in the future. Guys, we're going to wrap it up. For Tommy and Jeremy, I'm CDJ. Everyone, thanks for watching. We'll see you on the next episode of the Gaming Tailgate Podcast.